Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the Lovely Travels podcast. Here with me today, as always, is the lovely, lovely Emma. Emma the lovely.
Guten Tag. Hello, everyone. How you doing, Darius?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. And yourself?
I am good. I'm excited for this episode.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a long time and here we are today. It all happened. You got your ducks lined up in a row, or however that saying goes.
I did.
And you took a shot, like a camera shot. Tried for the segue. It didn't work. this week, you've got the lovely Deborah Ducci on.
Yes. So she was our underwater wedding photographer, which was, yes, very punny with the shot. She has lots of shots of me. But yes, she was our wedding photographer as well as this very, very special underwater photography session that we did.
How did that go?
It was so nice. Like actually, it has been a little hard to track down Deb. Deb lives in Mexico but went back to Italy and then kind of got stuck in Europe because of, well, she managed to get back there during COVID, but then kind of got stuck there a little bit and then was trying to get back to Mexico. And yeah, and then since she got back, there was a cyclone, and then like she's had lots of jobs on because now people can travel a little bit. So they've been coming for their elopements. And so, yeah, it was really wonderful to actually be like, okay, we can make a time and time zones as well. I mean, Mexico to Australia is not an easy time zone either.
Sure. And does she exclusively shoot underwater?
No, she does. So she actually did our wedding ceremony as well as the above ground shots, we'll say, and then the underwater as well. But it's certainly her specialty and it's her sort of signature. And not everybody who gets married would want what we want to or want to do it on the same day, but we'll definitely talk about all of that in the episode. She is at White Crown Photography is her business, and they're on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll be sharing all the links because you have to go and check out these photos. They are phenomenal. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to have with me today my beautiful friend, Deb.
Hi, Emma, and hi, everyone.
So I can say hola, I can say ciao, I can say hello.
Ciao. Auf Wiedersehen. I speak also German.
Oh, too talented. But I would love to know, just tell us a little bit about you. Where are you? What are you doing?
Okay, so I'm an Italian photographer based in the Riviera Maya, Mexico. I'm in Playa del Carmen, but most of people, I would say, they know more Cancun and Tulum. And I've been here for the past 13 years now. And I came, like, my background is advertising. I was working in Milan and Germany. And when I came to Mexico, I completely changed my life. Completely, like, opposite direction, I would say, happily. And I discovered photography like after a few years. I was in Mexico and it was like a big reveal, like epiphany. I remember the first time in a wedding I was holding a camera and I was assisting a photographer. I was bored. I didn't like weddings. And when he gave me the camera, my life completely changed. You know, I knew it was like no way back. And so like everything started and I became a wedding photographer, and I also shoot underwater like couples after the wedding. It's called Underwater Trash Dress. And that you were part of it. And it's an epic session, an epic adventure underwater in the beautiful Riviera Maya cenotes.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And so, yeah, you went from, I mean, I'm so jealous of Europeans. Like, you speak Italian, you speak English, you speak German, you picked up Spanish.
Spanish, yes.
And we're over here going, hola, ¿cómo estás?
¿Cómo estás? Tacos, cerveza, tequila.
I'm fortunate because I lived in Mexico, but it's hard for us over here to learn languages. So I'm always very impressed. But yeah, you're originally from Italy and you went back.
I'm from Italy.
Recently.
I'm from Italy and my mom is German. So I do have two nationalities and I learned German when I was a kid. I mean, I have like, I would say a basic German. I speak much better Spanish and English than German. And Spanish is quite similar to Italian. So, I mean, it's not too tough to learn Spanish for me, but like Latin languages would be similar. And I've been now here like for a long time. I go back often to Italy every summer. I was just there recently for a few months due to the COVID emergency. And now I'm back. I've been back since the beginning of October. And I'm starting again with weddings and elopements and trash dress, and everything is almost back to normality.
Yes. Ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch, but our other host, Darius.
Sehr gut.
He is German. So maybe
German. Okay.
Say something for him. Maybe say hello, Darius, to him and give him a little message. And when he edits it, he'll hear back.
Okay, sorry, what is his name? Darren?
Darius.
Darius, okay. Guten Tag, Darius. Wie geht's? Alles gut? Now I'm getting shy with my German. Oh my God. I remember like a song that my grandma always sang to me was "Oh, wie gut, dass niemand weiß, dass ich rumpel Schilskin eis." It's from a little like tale from the Grimm brothers, and that is stuck on my mind.
Well, you will, I'm sure, enjoy listening back to that just for you, Darius.
Hallo Deborah und vielen Dank für deine Nachricht. Macht Spaß, den Podcast zu bearbeiten.
Let's get you back to Mexico. So you've always stayed in the sort of the Riviera Maya area. So as you said, most people would know Cancun. So you'd fly into Cancun and you're living like 1 hour, 2 hours south from Cancun along the coast.
Yes, it's, I would say, 1 hour about. It's exactly in between Cancun and Tulum. I'm in the middle, and I don't know, like I found this place. I fell in love with Mexico, and actually like it's the same story of many people, like foreigners lives in Playa. I came on vacation here for 2 weeks. I went back to Italy, and after 25 days, I decided to move back to Mexico. And it was like I couldn't stay where I was. I needed to get back to Mexico. And I thought, like, let's go for a few months and see how it goes. And now it's 13 years. So, like, it went pretty well, I would say. And I'm really grateful to the beautiful people I've met, to the language I've learned, to the new career path I'm, you know, with photography. Like, I would do nothing else today than photography. I mean, I'm so happy to have found this path in Mexico, and everything came from a vacation. You never know where a vacation can bring you, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And even the first time Matthew and I went to Tulum, I've been to Tulum a number of times, and I've been to Mexico a number of times, but we were there and he said, oh, I could live here. And I said to him, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a heartbeat, so you don't say that if it's a joke. Like, if you want it, you know, we will make it happen. So please don't tease me, you know.
Like, it's strange to explain. There is like energy that calls you back, because I do travel a lot, and I travel to beautiful places, you know, like I've seen a little bit of everything in the world. And but I never had the feeling I want to stay or come back or leave in another place. And with Mexico, it was this like attraction to the place. You know, I needed to get back to Mexico, and I needed to find out if it was for me or not. And it was, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely magical, and there's a few places around, but I explained to Loon, like, it just got the best of everything. And it's funny because mm-hmm. I always thought I would get married on the beach. I love the beach, and I mean, it's like that typical paradise.
Yeah.
You've got white sand, you've got the really clear water, palm trees. I mean, you're having drinks and music and things on the beach. So it's that, you know, I took my friend there 2012. The memories just came up actually 8 years ago. And she's like, it was her first time going somewhere like really paradise. Like
it's like a postcard.
It is. It's that, what you think paradise looks like, Tulum is it.
That's it.
But then you have the ruins, you know, you have the Mayan history there, the Aztec sort of fusion, and then you have the jungle. And then you have cenotes.
Cenotes, yeah.
I mean, it's nowhere in the world. It's so unique.
For me, cenotes is kind of a magic place because, like, the beach is beautiful, but I think when you live here, you can get a little bit tired of it because it's a flat line. Mm. I come from Italy where we have, like, rocks and bays and, you know, like, big rock, stone, sand, volcanic sand, white sand. Everything is, like, a mix. And I... somehow I think there is more personality in the type of beaches and ocean. And so after a while, maybe you can get tired if you live here for quite a long time. But the cenotes, again, every cenote is different. So I get that magic back again. You have like cenotes that look like caves, that are open, that looks like river, like the color of the water is different. You have, how do you call them in English, stalactites and stalagmite, right? Yes. And so every cenote is different and is always a different adventure. And I like that.
Oh, it's, you know, and for people who haven't seen them, like you said, they're like caves. So it's where the limestone is eroded away. And mm-hmm. unlike other places, it's fresh water. So people, that's why it's so
clean. Ah, yes.
The water is fresh. As opposed to salt water, and so that's why you get the clarity. And yeah, there's some, even there's one that I don't know the name of it. I think it's up more near the top of Quintana Roo, but they have like the vines hanging down. This one, and it's
yes, I remember the name is kind of a complicated Mayan name. It's in the near of the Chichen Itza ruin, I think. Mm-hmm. It's like a huge cenote with roots coming down from the top to the bottom.
And they just look magical. Like you just, there's something so special. So the way that this all happened was that we had engaged Riviera Maya celebrants and the Mango weddings. We were talking to them. And I was sort of looking on the Instagram and things, looking for photographers. And I thought we were getting married on the beach and that's the plan. And then I went through the Instagram of the Riviera Maya celebrants and I saw a picture at the cenote. And I was like, what? I wrote to them, I said, you can get married in the cenote? And they said, yeah, of course. And I was like, well, then that's happening. And then I keep going through the photos, you know, and I'm like, okay, that's the idea. And then I see they're kind of in the water and I said, you know, they're starting to get in the dress or whatever. And I think it just took me down a little path and I ended up finding the photos of the underwater. And I was like, oh, my God. And I contacted them and I'm like, I have to do this.
This is what I want.
Now tell me, you know, who are the people who do this? And so, and originally we were talking to, because I thought I wanted a video. I actually found videos first, which is very interesting. And I potentially wanted to have video and photo. So I thought I was ready to talk to the videographer and explained that, you know, their different specialities, all that sort of stuff. But the photographer I spoke to was you. And we had a phone call and I think I was in London. This is this time last year and you were in Mexico.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
And, you know, I asked you about it. I wanted to explain that it's the lighting and everything and there's so much happening under the water. It's not really a good idea. Also, in hindsight, you know, having done the shoot, there's a lot going on and you could look very beautiful when you're under the water and in video, but also maybe you're trying to get into position and there's bubbles or things coming out your nose.
Exactly. I mean, it's tough to explain before we shoot because I think if you didn't live experience, you don't really understand how the day could be when you shoot underwater. But basically, I mean, speaking about photography, it takes like a few repetitions, as you remember, to get the good shot in place, because you have so many things that can go wrong. Maybe, you know, like your hair is on your face, you have bubbles, you have like the dress come down, the tie of the groom is in the face. Maybe you're turning your back a little bit towards me, you know. And so like I have basically constantly to direct and try to get the good shot. And it was, I mean, you guys were pro. You were able to go underwater, hold your breath. You were like really pro, you know, perfect position, smiling, eyes open. And anyway, it took a little bit of time to get the good shots. No? So imagine when you are working like with a different couple, and if you add the video on top, you have basically two point of view shooting, you know, video and photo competing for the same frame. And you are swimming, because I mean, when I'm shooting, I'm swimming basically, and I'm shooting. And so maybe you can, you know, like kick each other. Maybe you are, and the video is more complicated because you need a sequence of action. You know, I make you basically go down and do one pose, and it will not, I think, read well in a video in that way. You need to do, to direct, for example, swim from A to B, or do a rotation, or do like reach for a kiss. You need like an action. And also the light system is different because I'm using strobe lights, I flash, and the video needs works with like the available light, like in the cenote. And so it doesn't work. I always recommend do it if you want to a video, let's do that in another day, like a different day, or just go for photography or just for video, because it's a different day. It's not, it will not work if you do both together.
No, and you told me all of that, and it was made it very clear for me. And looking at your photos, I just was like, yes, I want this. And you're so delightful. It was lovely talking to you. I thought, I feel uncomfortable with her. I want to work with her. And the best thing, you know, for us, because we were booking from Australia, we haven't met the celebrant, we haven't met the anybody, the makeup artist, all this thing. So the fact that you could all work together, knew one another, it made me feel very comfortable, and I trusted you.
I understand. Yeah, I think it's important to have like a connection.
You know, we only met before my wedding.
yes, really, no. And it's actually like, it happens like here in the Riviera Maya, I mostly, I would say like 95% I work with destination weddings. So I actually meet the couple the day of the event. So having a good, you know, the call where you can like talk a little bit, see each other, and have the first feeling is really important. Most of the time, I'm the one spending most of the time with the bride during the getting ready, the ceremony, the session, the night. And so I think you need to click somehow and feel comfortable and trust the person you have in front.
Yes, definitely. And so we met, and you were so good because you went to the cenote. We had a little bit of change of plan. Mm-hmm. We had booked one, and then I think it got booked, double booked. So you found the other one, and you took the video for us and sent a video. So we had only seen a video, and you were there at 10 in the morning. So you said it's very quiet because we also took the risk of not booking. You can book the cenote
privately, yes.
Which costs maybe, you know, $600 or something like that.
Actually, you were the first ceremony that was done in that cenote, because I use often that cenote for underwater shoots. I love the light there for the underwater part, but we never have done a ceremony there. And so it was a first for us as well. And everything was perfect. Everything went well. The ceremony spot was amazing and the light was beautiful. And I'm happy we had the chance to do a complete shoot there, like from the ceremony to the underwater park.
Oh, and it made it so much easier because, you know, we had the ceremony with photos, then we had our photos above ground afterward and around that area, and then we got in the water. So to have to move, like, I mean, we were already tired, you know, we've been up since 5, so to have to move again and eat in the middle and reapply and
it's tough.
Location was, and we did discuss also having a different day, because I know that sometimes people will say, you know, maybe I got a little nervous when we first got to Mexico and the weather was a bit cloudy. It can happen in February.
Yes.
Stormy. And I just thought, and it felt a bit cool, the air, like it was maybe 20 or something, but I thought, what the
fresh
heck?
Yeah.
Why am I going to swim on my wedding day? Like, what am I thinking?
You know what? I think it's good to do it that way because you have already the makeup on, you have the hair done, you don't have to, you know, repeat the process because it is a long process, you know, hair and makeup. You have to take 2 hours, 3 hours, get ready early morning. And so, like, I mean, since you are already ready for your day, it was not a bad idea to do everything together. And I liked it. You know, you had your ceremony and after, like, the adventure and ready to relax after the cenote treasure dress.
Well, and also the thing I thought was, like, the whole special thing for me was, like, what a special thing on our wedding day, something so unique. And to recreate it didn't feel like it's the same magic because we were so happy. And so, you know, I think you see that in the picture. We were happy. We were, you know, in love. And
they were so cute.
Yeah, we were kissing and all this, you know. But, you know, if we had to do that after we've had all this excitement and all the energy, adrenaline of the wedding and then maybe the next day, I think you even say maybe you should do it. If you do want to do it separately, you really think that's best, then maybe
after. A few days after. And in that case, I was like especially thinking about the weddings that happen in the afternoon. You know, like if you have like a bigger wedding and you have ceremony in the afternoon and after we have the reception with the dancers, everybody's drinking and maybe the wedding ends at midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. In that case, I don't recommend to do the cenote the day after because you really need energy. I mean, it is a beautiful adventure, but it is an adventure. And so you need to be, you know, like strong, fresh, well-eaten, not hangover. Because I did had a few cases where bride and groom wanted to shoot the day after the wedding. And it was just because of our like a traveling schedule. So there was not any other possibilities. And they were miserable. They were really miserable. I mean, you know, we did anyway, like we had some amazing photos, we make it work, but it takes longer and they are miserable, they are tired, they have headaches. And so like I always recommend after your wedding day, if you get married at night and you have a long wedding, rest the day after, book your spa, get a massage, and a few days after you do your trash dress and that's it.
Yeah, but for me, I think doing it, I mean, we did an elopement, so it's a different style of wedding.
It's a different, yes.
They're asking me, like, but then your dress was wet. And I said, well, I was never going to wear my dress. You know, there were 6 of us. We're going for dinner. I'm not going to wear my dress. It's a gown. I'm not wearing that to dinner.
So to dinner, yeah.
We had that plan. So I had a spare dress, a pretty white dress that I wore for dinner. So it's a different
for dinner, yeah.
We had the plan of, and we still have the plan of having a big party in Australia. So like our reception, we were spread out. So really that day was for me about us being married together and having those special moments together and that.
Memories, making memories, yeah. And also, like, I have to say, like, I've seen many weddings and many trash dress. Most of the time during the wedding, the dress gets really dirty because people are drinking, dancing on the dance floor. The dress gets dragged around and, you know, gets dirty. But in the cenote being fresh water and it's crystal clear, I mean, it's really crystal clear, basically you're washing the dress. We call it trash dress because it's the common terminology for this type of shoot. But actually, it's, you know, there is no risk for the dress. The only a risk you can have is maybe if you are like, if you have like a really like late sea thin dress that maybe can get hooked on a rock, on a, you know, like on a little like branch, but it's a rare case. Like most of the time the dress is clean and ready to hang and dry and bring back home.
Exactly. I had a few twigs. I pulled out some little twigs.
Maybe. Exactly.
Actually, I had some orange marks and I thought it must have been the algae or from a tree. Turns out my seamstress, the lady who stitched up the train, had accidentally left a needle in there. So I had a needle in the dress on the day and the needle had rusted and that was the orange mark. So I think lucky I didn't get stabbed in the water.
No, you were like everything went fine. Okay.
Yeah, I had a needle in there the whole time, sewing needles. So anyway.
And when did you find the needle? Like back in Australia or when you were still in Toulon?
Back in Australia. I found the
needle. Okay. a traveling needle from Australia to Tulum back to Australia.
The weapon. So yes, but you said so, and it was really great. You sent me before, so we could get a little bit prepared, some things, but also you get some common questions. So I just want to ask you those questions.
Yes.
The first one was, does the dress stay clean? So you just answered that one.
It does. Perfect as new.
And then, can we do the trash the dress the day after the wedding, which we already sort of talked about too?
Mm-hmm.
You said preferably on the day or depending on the style of wedding, then a few days after.
A few days after.
Yeah. Do brides use a second dress for the trash the dress?
Sometimes, yes. So, but a few cases when this is happening, for example, maybe they want to have, for traveling reason, for the schedule, they would like to have a trash dress before the wedding. So if you don't want to use the dress before the wedding, normally they have a plan B, like a second dress for the trash dress, and after they use the real dress for the wedding, like the official dress, sorry, for the wedding. Or also maybe some brides wants to resell the dress or keep the dress or use the dress, and so they use a second dress for the trash dress. So as I always tell the bride that it should not get ruined, that everything should be fine, but it depends a little bit on the client. Also sometimes people, this is what I always recommend. It doesn't happen so often, but I love when it happens. I always suggest use your original dress, but bring a bold choice for your second dress. For example, a red gown, a golden sequin gown, go crazy, you know, crystal everywhere, and whatever looks a little bit like heavy, normally underwater can look amazing. And so every bold color, like shiny fabric, works in an epic way underwater, and I always dream for that, and I always try to convince people to get a second crazy dress for the issue.
Yeah, and so I brought with me some of my Indian outfits because they're really bright. Mm-hmm. And I also bought a couple of dresses because I didn't know I'm still on the day, maybe I was gonna want to keep my dress. But you know, for me the special thing was that, you know, that I went straight from the ceremony into the water, and it was like, that makes sense. And I kind of got to the point, I don't care if it does get something, but everything came out perfect, so it wasn't a problem. But I tell you, we're going to come back in 4 years. We are having an anniversary every 29th of February 2024. And I will bring a sequin dress, I promise.
Oh, I'm so happy. I will put that already in my calendar. So yeah. It's going to be there, like a TBC to be confirmed.
Yeah, it's going to be there. And then I have to send you a picture. I actually tried on a gold sequin dress as potentially the wedding dress. But
send me the photos. Yes, especially sequin. It looks like, like fish scale.
Yeah,
it's part like a disco ball underwater. When the light underwater hits the dress, you get like this beam of lights coming out of the sequins, and it's so stunning. It's so stunning to shoot. It makes me so happy to see that underwater. So go for it, man. Go for it.
Now, maybe I should answer this one because we have different responses. It's is the water cold? Deborah says no, it's not cold. And Matthew and I were like
So I have to lie. I know I have to lie about it. So actually, the water is not cold if you go for a swim. You know, if you take a 10-minute swim, it's amazing. It's refreshing. It's beautiful. If you have to shoot for 2 hours, it gets cold. You know, it's easy to get hypothermia. And so adrenaline distracts you a lot. So if you're shooting, you know, I'm getting the shot, I'm excited, I'm, you know, I see the results, I don't want again and more, so I go. But I see even on myself that I'm wearing a thin wetsuit, I get, you know, blue lips, and I start to shake. You can hear my teeth, a clinch. Yeah, exactly. Yes, and I also see you guys, you know, like I will not tell you that, but I see when people start to get, you know, like the, how do you say, like duck skin, you know, like goosebumps, okay, when you get goosebumps, I see when your lips are turning blue, you know, I see that is happening, you know, that people are getting cold, but I have to, you know, keep going and keep you excited and try to not make you think that it's really starting to be cold, but I have to keep you positive and wanting, you know, like for you to cooperate to get the best results for the shot. And we can also take breaks. I mean, anytime, you know, I'm not, I get excited and I can keep shooting, but if the people in front of me start to be miserable and they want to get out and take a break, we can always stop. The only problem, it is more difficult to get back into the water. No, you can, you get out, you get warm, and you don't want to go back into the water. I mean, you have to wait a while. Yes.
Yeah. So it was, I would say it was fresh. And we're first getting in, and we have some very funny videos I'll share of us, the water rising up and feeling cold. But after maybe 5-10, you know, you're excited and things. And I was doing a lot more photos than Matthew. So he was telling me he was cold and tired. I said, I'm working my butt off here, you know. I'm mermaid and I'm almond, you know. But
it was giving up a little bit before than you. It was like starting to wanted to get out like half shoot.
Yes. So he, but he did well. I mean, I didn't, the time passed so quickly because we were going to change.
No, it did amazing. It went through it. I mean, but I could tell it was like, okay, when is it over? When is it over? But after it kept going, I mean, it was really, you know, focusing on the shoot.
Well, and he hurt his shoulder a little bit because, you know, he was holding on to me. And I think he was always holding on with the one arm. And because my dress is heavy and I'm floating and I'm posing, he's holding my whole body weight. So his poor shoulder the day after, he had a sore shoulder. So maybe swap shoulders when you're doing it too.
It is an adventure, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the question as well, like, and people, my friends could not believe this, like the makeup, how it lasts under the water. You know, people say, does it last?
No, it does. It does. Like, I always recommend to do professional makeup first, because it is a big session. You know, it does. It's like, it's not. I would say, like, in the it has a, like a cost, because like the equipment is like a specific equipment. Is like half day shoot with the, you know, the traveling to the cenote entrance. And so I always recommend to do a professional makeup, because we will take lots of photos, no, of course, of the couple. And so it's good to have this like perfect skin and, you know, like be ready for the session. And most of the makeup artists of the area, they know about the cenote treasure dress. And so they're ready to provide underwater, like a waterproof makeup service. Yes. And I would say that like most of the shoots I've done underwater, the makeup is like perfect until the end. You know, like you have the base, the darkness of the eyes, you know, everything stays in place. Maybe we have some problems sometimes with fake eyelashes, because they tend to float away. That doesn't resist the tension of the water. And the lips, because if you're kissing, you know, if you're like, maybe you're like biting your lips or like kissing, and so like the lipstick tend to fade. And I always recommend to bring a lipstick with you to put some color on your lips, because those will turn blue underwater. And so to look alive and to look healthy and alive, I would recommend maybe, you know, to have on hand your lipstick to put again on.
And I did that, and it changed. Also, yes. Like I had had quite a neutrally sort of color for my, for the sort of ceremony, so I just chose something a little bolder underneath, so more brown color. So I think you see that little change in the photos, but it's it does make a difference having the lipstick on. But my makeup, my friends could not believe on the day, you know, they said, you still look flawless. Even that night, I had a nap in the afternoon and went out for dinner, and my makeup was still on.
Still with the same makeup. Wow,
yeah. This is like the eyelashes. I had to pull them off like 2 days later. I was like, okay, this is enough now. VO Evolution, Natasha. They are brilliant.
No, those are we are amazing. And actually, like, I remember like two things that surprised me personally is when you came up out from the water at the end of the session, your makeup was on. And at the beginning of the shots, when you are underwater, you still have the hair, like in, you have like the locks, the curls of the hair, like, you know, like fresh done, but you are underwater. And most of the time, once you touch the water, the hair goes like a lion, it flies everywhere. Mm-hmm. But no, you had like the hair done underwater. I was like, wow, this is really perfect.
And you, one of the funny things for me was, you know, there's lots of things to remember, but you sort of get into it. But yeah, you would say to me, "And we need your hair, like your hair has to be more." So I would have to go
shake it,
shake my head like a lion, then pull the hair out of my face, then stop breathing, and then pose.
You know, like
just all these things, and Matthew's just sitting there, and I'm like, I have to do like five things, and then.
And it's like, don't squint, don't puff your cheeks, extend your neck, fluff your hair. You know, so many things needs to be in place, no? And I keep repeating constantly that, like, during the shoot, because it's so easy to lose the awareness of your, like, body position or your face. And it doesn't look good if you're, like, squinting or puffing or, you know, the hair is in your face. And so it's, like, constantly, like, reminding
We would come up and you'd say, look in the camera. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So I can see you. So I'd look at you and you're like, no, it looks weird. Don't look at the camera.
It's like the ghost bride. I always tell my bride, like, don't look in the camera, you know, because it's so strange. When you underwater, you open your eyes, you see like blurry shapes. So people have a tendency to over open the eyes. And if you look in the camera, it looks kind of ghostly. You are underwater, your hair is flying, your dress is flying, and you look in the camera with big eyes, it looks scary a little bit. So I always recommend don't look in the camera and always smile. Always a soft smile. And
it's just so funny. Emma, don't look at me. I'm like, okay.
Okay, sorry.
But you're always lovely about it. So one of the things we learn is, yeah, do you have to go deep in the water?
No. So for the couple that I'm shooting or the subject that I'm shooting, absolutely not. So if bride are always normally wearing like big dresses, and it's important for us to make sure they are always able to stand up and be standing on a rock. So the client is not swimming around or going deep. I'm the one shooting at the same level of a subject I'm shooting or going down like a few meters for the shot. Basically, like if the subject is going down underwater deep and I would shoot the subject, I will just see the bottom of a cenote, so rocks. If the subject stays close to the surface, I will have a reflection effect with the surface. And so it's better if I go down a little bit and I'm shooting this like amazing reflection on the surface, on the underwater part of the surface. And like the most I'm diving, I would say it's 4 or 5 meters, could be like the most. Most part of the shoot is done at the same level or just a few meters underwater. And depending on the light, when the light comes into the camera is when I try to sink really deep so I can get this amazing effect of the light getting into the camera as well. And I try to get a little bit of everything, you know, like shooting like near you, far away from you, deeper, same level, half inside, half outside the water. So you get a complete portfolio and different point of view. You can see everything from a different place, and it looks much better for the final portfolio.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite photos is actually the one where we first, I'm just up to like almost like my breast line, like so. Uh-huh. My body is above the water and the
dress on, yes.
That was the first one I put up so that people were a bit like, are you in the water? Like, are you actually in the water? And they don't know it could be just a cool trick. And then the next shot I put is we are just under the water. But I was surprised, that we just really dip below the surface, really like at top of the head, almost touching the surface.
And actually, like sometimes people tend, you know, they try to help me out and they try to sink really deep. But I have always to, you know, like make sure, like, no, stay really close as you can to the surface. Also, like, depends on the shot. For example, sometimes I can make like people swim from one rock to another rock, no? So that could be, you can sink down a little bit lower depending on the background and the situation. Like, but most of the time, you don't need to go deep at all. And I actually had clients that didn't know how to swim. And 10 years and 11 almost years in the business, I only had two couples that didn't know how to swim, and they hired me. And I was really surprised because it's like, it is an underwater shoot. I mean, you saw the images, no? We are going to swim. And we made it work. The picture did turn out beautiful. It just took longer time to be able for them to relax and to get the understanding of what to do. And now, like, for example, now that myself, I have more experience. Well, I always ask now if the client can swim, and I always recommend to do some practice at home in the swimming pool, in the bathtub, try to, you know, hold your breath and smile and open your eyes underwater, get used to the sensation. And so.
Yes. And we did that. I promise. We did.
Yes, I know. I know. I asked you about it.
I mean, my husband is also like practically Aquaman, and he,
exactly. He
free dives very well. And I try to keep up too. So we were water babies anyway. So we were very well practiced.
And that helps me a lot.
It was, but any practice you can do. And the difference is, I think people are used to holding their breath when they swim. And so it's a different feeling when you're holding your breath and staying still. So we were actually able to stay under quite long. You got a little annoyed with us because we were staying under too long.
I'm really competitive, and I feel like I cannot go up before them. I'm going to, you know, get purple, but I'm going to stay underwater.
Honestly, rude, you know, to make the photographer look bad. You shouldn't stay down.
One time I had to admit I cheated because I went up and took a breath like and went down again.
We were just so in love underwater in the moment. And you don't know because you can't talk to each other. So you can't say to us, come on, guys, that's it. So we just thought, well, has she got the shot?
Yeah, let's wait. No, yes.
The shot, and then we come up and you're like, is it okay? And you were like,
amazing.
And so how long does it usually take the shoot? How long do you usually spend?
So like for the complete shoot, normally when it's like, in your case, for example, it was elopement plus trash dress. So it was like a different situation. Normally when it's only trash dress, I shoot the dry part, and after we go underwater, I would say it lasts from 3 to 5 hours. Depends if we're like, you know, some cenotes, they have 2-3 different water areas, so maybe you have to walk a little bit. Mm-hmm. Depends a little bit on the day, if the client wants to take a break or not, but I would say 3 to 5 hours. And also depends on how much the client can last, because sometimes they give up and they say, you know what, enough, like I'm done, that's it, what we have. But if the client is up to, and they let me torture them, and we're getting good photos, you know, I can keep going. So like I had like a few times, rarely, but 7 hours shoot. Wow. And I, like, it's one package, so there's like no extra cost. For me, it's like, if I can have amazing photos and it's working and we are producing good material, for me, it doesn't matter. You know, we stay longer and we shoot epic images. That's why I do this job, you know, and... But I would say mostly like 3 or 5 hours. And I always recommend my clients to not have any activity booked after the day. They think it's going to be easy. Okay, I have a few photos in the morning, and at night I have a party with my family and friends, or we have something else planned. And normally, no. Normally they go back, they order food, and they sleep like babies. And I know that because everybody tells me the same. So I recommend to take the day off normally after the cenote trash dress.
We had a nap. We just had a 2-hour nap. So we met at 8, and then we were probably in the and did the wedding and the photos, and then we were in the water maybe 10:30, and then we did 2 hours in the water. So we were like 4 hours.
And also it's like a big temperature change, because when you shoot in the jungle, you have a wedding dress on, you're sweating, it's really humid, it's really hot, you lose lots of liquids, the heat is intense, can be intense, especially if you're not used to it. And after you go in the water and it's really cold, and you're like, you know, swimming and kicking and shaking because you're like getting cold, and yeah, you're tired after it.
Yes, we are. And so I was very happy with my dress in the end. But so we talked a little bit before, but what sort of dress do you recommend if the bride? And it was hard because I was thinking of the dress, and then I had to go, you know what, if I have to wear two dresses, I'll wear two dresses, but I have to think, how do I want to look above water? And then if it works, I mean, it worked perfectly, I think. It was
wonderful. Perfectly, absolutely, yes. So, like, in your case, it was fun because I remember you were, like, choosing the dress for the session. You were really planning ahead. And I mean, if we have the opportunities of doing that, that is amazing for me as well. Any dress we can shoot underwater, but for the best results, I would recommend, I like personally the marmite shape and the shape of the dress. So you see like the shape of the body, but I always recommend to have one with a train, like the one you had, because that gives you a sexy body with an extension and you look really long underwater. You have this effect of mermaid tail, I would say.
They also have this powder fit and flare. So fitted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the long, like on the back, like the train. Mm-hmm. And that like looks really like pleasant underwater. It's really beautiful to watch because you have this like extension of the body. Or if not, another option, like I had like really voluminous dresses with a lot of like volume and lace and chiffon. And that gives an angelic look underwater. Everything is fluffing and floating underwater and gives you this like ethereal, angelic, ghostly visual, basically. And also like the veil, I always recommend to have a veil for my clients. Even if you're not getting married with a veil, I recommend to like buy like a, you know, like a cheap veil just for the underwater shoot. And everything with this like, you know, floating around like props, maybe you can use it in your hand or it's like floating in the background behind you. It's a nice touch for the shoot.
And you had a veil that I borrowed, which quite surprised.
Yes.
I was very clear I didn't want a veil. And so when I put the pictures, my mom was like, why do you have a veil? Like, where did you get, like, you changed your mind? I was like, no, just for the pictures. I didn't.
Always a few props that I bring to the cenotes. I'm, you know, when I see stuff that they like and I get excited, I'm thinking like, this would like look good underwater. If you remember, we had also like a golden fabric and I have, you know, I find stuff sometimes that I want to see how they look like underwater and I just buy them and bring them to the shoot because I'm excited to use them.
Yeah, it was fun to have a few props and to mix it up. And when do you recommend, what are the months you recommend going down?
Okay, so this is a tough one because in Mexico they say rainy season is from May to November, mm-hmm. but it doesn't rain for all those months. So basically you have 1 month that is raining a lot and the rest maybe you can get occasional, like, you know, like 10 minutes strong rain, half an hour strong rain, and the rest is sunshine. For example, now that is, November, when like half October, half November, the two hurricanes, a tropical storm, everything went like so strange, but it's 2020, so it's normal. If not most of the time, with a little bit of rain and rainy season can be like 1, 2, 3 weeks of strong rain. Rain can affect the clarity of the water. The problem is like we never know when it's going to rain. I would say that maybe in the last 11 years shooting trash dress, probably October, November can be a little bit more at risk because mm-hmm. normally most of the rain happens in those months and the rest should be fine. When it's raining like for one straight week, we can have a loss of clarity underwater and that can be complicated. Also because maybe the client is here for maybe 4 or 5 days, maybe like if we're lucky 1 week or 10 days. And so we can reschedule if we are available and we don't have another shoot plan, we can reschedule without any problem. But if it's raining for 1 week or 10 days straight, we have to find different solution and make it work with the situation we have underwater.
Yeah. And we were so lucky because like, as I said, the first day it was a little overcast and cloudy. The second day was a little less. The next day was kind of sunny. And the next day was our wedding day.
Perfect.
Almost perfect. Uh-huh. So
with sun, I think all the time, no? Just 5 minutes of cloudy and that's it. Yeah.
It was perfect. So everything about my day was perfect, I must say.
Exactly. You were like a beautiful day.
I was so blessed. But I'm going to show you some photos now. I mean, you've seen them before, but we're just going to read through the comments together because it's kind of funny.
I love this photo. This is so beautiful.
So this first photo is the one I mentioned where we're still above the water, but our bodies are under the water. And I put this up and we got about 60 likes on Facebook. We got quite a few likes. My comment was, I found myself a real-life Aquaman. And... not so many comments, but just somebody says, photoshopped, Emma, ? someone else says, amazing, I love this, so magical a dream. She had actually seen the photos, so she knew what was happening.
She knew.
She's a diver herself, so she loved it, and has two little girls. And she's like, can I go home and show the girls? They'll be like, Emma's a mermaid. and then they got what a gorgeous photo. So that, I think people were like, oh, nice, that's pretty, but they didn't understand what was happening yet. And so then the next photo we put, which I have to go which way? This way or this
actually,
way?
Sorry, let me just get back on this photo. Basically, yeah. Like there, I'm already like, you are halfway. And me, I'm already like, well, completely in the water. And my camera is inside a housing. And I'm basically, my lens is shooting both inside and outside. So this is like the beginning for us of the underwater part.
So cool. So cool. So the next one was our first fully, and of course, my computer's being slow now, underwater. Come on. Oh, or my mouse is being a jerk. This happened in there. Come on. Hello.
And meanwhile, I would say it's not Photoshop. I mean, I use Photoshop. I edit every single photos, and especially for underwater shoots, there is a lot of like color correction because sometimes the color balance underwater can make like can change a little bit between photos and photos. So we always like color correct the images, but the photo is a real photo. And in Photoshop, we only correct, you know, like some sharpness. Sometimes it can happen that you see the cable of my flashlight, so I have to edit out the cable or little details.
Yeah. Okay. So, of course, my computer decides to play up just as I do this. Okay. So this was the main shot. Ah!
Look at your hair. Your hair is in perfect position. You have like your locks are like, is everything is perfect.
It was amazing. And it was cool because, like, for me as well, I know that this was one of the very first shots that you got. So it really was.
That was, yes, one of the first one.
Here we go. So, and what I did, I put, was actually the words that Matthew read a poem to me on the day. So he said, you're so down to earth. I am up in the stars. I'll show you the sea if you take me to Mars. It was very sweet.
I remember that from the video, like when I received a video from my editors, I remember like listening to that poem and it was so sweet.
It was so sweet. I'm like, come on, computer. It just doesn't want to show this one photo. It keeps flicking back and forth. Anyway, the one guy who had said on the last picture, he said Photoshopped ? He said, oh, you are under the water. Like actually, uh-huh. It's like, yes. I am. So it was, people were just so surprised that we had done this. So I got, what? How's that even possible? I've never seen a lovelier photo. As somebody said, I've got another photo where I'm, it's just me. I'm kind of being like a mermaid. And she says,
oh, I love that photo. Yeah.
You aren't even trying to breathe and even have a small smile. Craziness. And the photographer captured that particular moment. I'm having FOMO over my lame wedding photos.
Oh, no.
I know, I meet so many people. They're like, photography's come so far. They're like, you can do it again. Do it for your anniversary or something.
Exacto. It's always like something that I recommend, you know, like it's like you can always take beautiful picture of like, you know, together as a couple, no? And you can, when I have clients that want to have wedding photos after the wedding, I mean, after 1 year, 2 years or 3 years of a wedding, I always recommend to do like half an hour. So half of a session with wedding, with a wedding gown and half session with something else, because so you have bridal version and you have also just a portrait version, but it's not too bridal related.
Yeah, I'd love to have that in next time as well. And we're definitely going to do, and for me, last time we had civil ceremony. It was beautiful. I loved Paula, our celebrant. But there's also an offering of a Mayan celebrant and doing the Mayan ceremony. So I said when we come back, we will do a little ceremony because we hopefully will have more friends and family come and they can watch us say some nice things together in the Mayan ceremony and then just get in the water. And also we'll have a little baby. So
exactly.
Three. So let's see if they can come in the water too.
Well, for me it would be beautiful to shoot, like, you know, like an anniversary shoot and there is a baby as well. Yeah. I mean, it's like more people you add, more subject you add to the shoot, more difficult it is. But the idea of maybe getting, you know, like a few shots with a baby would be amazing, you know. And
yeah, you're just our photographer for life. So we just have to keep meeting up. And you capture our journey over the years. But I've got this other one, the mermaid one, and my friend's saying, stop it. These are incredible photos, amazing. You are Ariel. And then she's done a GIF from the Little Mermaid. She's put a picture of me.
It's true. I actually personally love this photo. And this like goes back to what we were saying before about the dress. You see, you have like the mermaid shaped dress. So your body is like, you know, you see the curves, you see everything. But after you have this like long extension of the tail. And so you look extremely long. The hair is in perfect position. I love everything about this photo. I remember the moment I took this photo and I told you about it. It was like, wow. I love this photo. I was so excited about it. And you have also like a little.
I looked at.
Sorry.
If I hadn't looked at. I hadn't asked you to see any pictures. But
that was the first time I showed you.
Can I just see how it looks? You know, you don't know how you're looking. And I looked at that and I was like, oh, I look good.
Yeah, I know, you look good. That was amazing. And you also have a little fish swimming on the top of the dress. I always like when we have those details because they make you understand that you are underwater and that is like a natural environment. So if we have like a little fish swimming around, is always like a plus for us.
Yeah. So I've got some more comments. Are you actually swimming in your dress? These are amazing. Jaw-dropping, awesome, bucket list, amazing photograph. Somebody said, what I want to know is, do you still have the dress? And I sent them back a photo of the dress hanging in my bedroom. So I said, yes.
It looks perfectly like fine, no? Like clean and...
Yeah. So best wedding pictures I've ever seen, absolutely incredible, stunning, awesome. We had on one of our pictures, we had 200 likes and we had about 80 comments. So, people really, and, you know, they sort of come back a little bit, somebody must find them again and then they comment again. So this one, there's a comment from a lovely lady called Deborah Ducci.
Hey, it's me.
She said, hi. I love this photo, everything is perfect, even the ringlets. Yeah, that one is amazing because the hair is just staying there.
You know, like it never gets old for me. Like when I've been doing this for a while and I'm really happy when the result is amazing and the client is happy and people get excited and I see the comments. I mean, I am happy. I'm excited to know that people are loving the images and every dress address is like so different. You know, the light is different, the client is different, the dress is different. So many different things can influence the shoot. And I love it when we have this type of photos. Now, like your day was really beautiful. You had like the perfect light, the makeup, the hair, the dress. You two guys were like pros underwater.
It all came together. And I just can't believe though, still, even on this comp, you know, even after I've answered the question, I'm still getting, is this underwater? Is this underwater?
It is.
Actually, are you underwater? And I had to post a video because I think people still can't believe it. So my girlfriends, you know, were there on the day. So they took some video behind the scene, which I'll put on the Instagram as well.
I'm really glad they did.
Yeah,
like it's they never get like the backstage of a, you know, nobody's shooting me shooting now. So like it was nice to have like proof that we were really underwater.
Really, really. And it's funny because, you know, you saw us you know, we were sort of doing the 1, 2, 3 and getting ready and coming up and laughing and our friends talking. They're saying, oh, I feel like creepy watching them, you know, because it's very romantic as well. And, you know, so we just be creepy. But they said, we're watching 100%. We don't care. We'll find a way. So they were up on the bridge like little cheeky monkeys.
Yeah. And then from the stairs, not hiding there.
Yeah, but it's just the comments are so, so lovely and just, you know, people, I have goosebumps. These are so creative.
Oh.
Wow, this is beautiful. Very impressed by your composed faces. I've only ever managed thumb face underwater.
This is the thing, because you're making like a really effort, like it seems effortless. You know, you are like soft, relaxed. You're not puffing or squinting. You are like, you seem comfortable in what you're doing. And I have to say that sometimes it is not, no, it's tough. You know, you have to really be aware of your like mouth and cheeks and eyes and... but you look effortless there.
Yeah. Look, it was for me, it was not too bad. So I'm so glad I did it. I said I would do it again in a heartbeat. I cannot recommend you as a photographer above ground, underwater, in a hotel, out on a beach, anywhere people can work with you, Deb. Honestly, I cannot express how grateful we are, and we did something for you. We watched our photos on Zoom.
That was a first for me. Like, I never had a client like doing that for me, and you know, like, I always deliver the photo, I always get a response, you know, like, we love the photos, but I never see when people see the images. And you made this like a recording of your reaction while watching for the first time the photos, and it was like a beautiful gift, because I'm happy if you're happy, no? I'm seeing you guys excited and emotional and surprised. And it was, I don't know, I felt so good. I was so happy for you guys.
Yeah, it was a wonderful moment. And I really took the time, and I just asked my friend Jen, who was at our wedding. She actually eloped as well. So inspired by us. And so she said yesterday, I got the photos, I'll send you a link. And I said, no. I want to have a slideshow, please. So we're going to do a video. I think it's so much nicer to, you know, people often they get these pictures. You pay quite a lot of money to get pictures and a lot of time doing them. It's a very special day. And these photos you never get to share. So
that's true.
That's been a benefit of COVID, was that I was, because I couldn't see some of my family and friends, they might never come to my house. I did print myself an album. I said, I'll show you. And so we went through the slideshow together, and it was so nice for me to relive that many times and not just send the link and hope that they looked at it. I was like, no, we'll sit together and I'll show you.
And we watch it, yes.
Yeah. So I recommend that for people to, you know, enjoy your pictures, you know, and look at them often and having them. I should tell you, I now have a big album. I made a big one that's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
I made a smaller one as well.
Okay.
So, same. So that we can travel with it, because otherwise, again, people don't get to ever see your wedding album.
It's true. So you have like a smaller version of a...
like an A4 size, so that when I go to visit people, I can take it, and then the big one doesn't get damaged, you know.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
I'll send you a video. I'll put a little video up, guys, on the Instagram too, to show you some of the pictures in print. But thank you so much for everything, but also for sharing with us your wonderful skills. And
thanks, Emma, for inviting me. It was a pleasure. I love now to like talk about this experience with you and relive like the moments of the shoot together. And yes, it was like a pleasure for me. Absolutely.
Muchas gracias. Cuídate.
Un abrazo. Bye, Emma. Ciao.
Thank you for listening, everyone. And just a reminder, you can find us all over the internet. Lovelytravels.com. That's lovely with double L. Or send us an email, info@lovelytravels.com. Where else, Emma?
They can join us on Facebook at our Facebook page named Lovely Travels, or you can join our awesome community of travelers and people interested in all things travel. That's the Lovely Travels community. And then you can also check us out on Instagram at Lovely Travels. So always with a double L, LOVELLY Travels.
That's right. Just we'd really look forward to you dropping by, having a look, leaving a like, subscribing, telling your friends, getting your mum to listen. Call your mum. You haven't called her in a while. She'll be really happy.
That's it. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.